more of Lake Effect Now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. The next time you open your wallet to pay for something with cash, it's likely you'll have a couple of ones in there.
They are the lowest denomination that U.S. paper money comes in, and Lake Effect essayist Avi Lank hopes we keep it that way.
Pity the poor $1 bill. All of its relatives, the $5, the $10, the $20, the $50, and the $100 bills, have undergone 21st century makeovers, complete with holograms, multiple colors, and special paper. Meanwhile, the lowly one is stuck in the 1960s, with the same basic design it carried in that decade of social change. A dour George Washington, miniature by today's design standards, surrounded by a sea of green ink, and even the name of the Federal Reserve Bank that issued the bill. It makes one wonder how hard the 20s Andrew Jackson, or even the 50s Ulysses Grant, is chuckling at poor George out there in the presidential great beyond. The dollar bill is stuck in its retro design thanks to a strange combination of circumstances. The larger notes were redesigned to discourage counterfeiting, something that is not much of a problem for the lowly one. But a bigger problem with redesigning the one is that it opens the door to ending it altogether. Although there is disagreement over the exact number, switching from a paper bill to a dollar coin would save the government millions of dollars a year in production costs, as coins last longer than bills. Senator John McCain from the metal mining state of Arizona has long pushed for such a change, citing the savings involved. Representatives of the paper-making and cotton-growing states have rallied behind the one, as dollar bills are printed on a cotton-rich paper. And then there's the vending machine industry, which is of two minds. It would have little trouble with replacing the dollar bill with a coin. But if that does not happen, it would like the bill to remain as it is. A new bill would require changing vending machines that take dollar bills, while most vending machines already make some accommodation for dollar coins. Thus, Congress has discouraged redesign of the dollar bill, leaving poor George Washington diminished beside his currency peers. So what about a dollar coin instead? Over the years, there have been numerous efforts to introduce one as a substitute for the dollar bill. Remember the Susan B. Anthony coin, the Sacagawea dollar, and the set of presidential coins issued in recent years? They all still circulate, but are rarely seen. The reason is a hoary economic dictum called Gresham's Law. Simply stated, it says that bad money drives out good. That is, if a government issues two types of money with the same buying power, people will keep the one with the greater intrinsic value and spend the one with less. Thus, people will hoard metal dollar coins while spending paper dollar bills. So if there ever were a serious push to make the dollar coin commonly used, the paper dollar would have to be withdrawn. Seen from a global perspective, there is good reason to do so. Among major currencies, the dollar bill is the least valuable paper. Canada, Britain, and the Eurozone all use the $5 as their smallest denomination bill, with values from about $4 to about $8 U.S. The 1,000 yen note is Japan's smallest paper currency, and it is worth more than $4. Meanwhile, all of these countries have pieces of metal for smaller purchases, 1 or 2 pounds or dollars or euros, and a 500 yen coin. Travelers to and residents of those countries carry around a lot of change, a downside to getting rid of smaller notes, except for tailors who fix holes in pockets. But I see another problem with replacing the dollar bill with a coin: inflation. Paying for something with a fistful of change makes it seem less expensive than pulling a bill out of a wallet. So here is one vote for keeping the dollar bill. But please redesign it. George Washington deserves that much respect.
Avram D. Lank was an award-winning reporter and columnist at the Milwaukee Sentinel and Journal Sentinel for more than 35 years. He lives in Whitefish Bay.
Lake Effect essayists' views are their own, and you can learn how to contribute to this show as well by visiting us at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. One last break, and then Wisconsin writer Michael Perry joins us to talk about his new book. It's for young adults. We'll learn about the scavengers when Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio.